bedrooms, in our individual bedrooms, there is a manifest presence of God that comes down and helps us. The manifest presence of God is here and can do much more. There's an expression of God that we can feel, we can perceive, and it can do a creative work that is much more than the one we feel when we are individually in our spaces. So once again, you're welcome to church, and you're welcome to this service. Again, over the past couple of months, we've been looking at Abraham. Over the past couple of months, we've been taking a peep into the life of Abraham. We've been looking at a number of things from his life. So today is probably Pastor will say whether it's concluding that series of that peep into his life. And today we want to see this. And we have seen several aspects of Abraham's life. But today we want to take a little peep again into an historic view of what happened to Abraham in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8 to 16. Would you read with me? One of the things that happens in church is that we read scriptures. So would you mind to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 with me? I will be read from verse 8 to 16. The scripture says, "Till I come," Paul was telling the early church, give attendance to reading of scriptures. So it is something we do when we come to church. Are we there? Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8 to 16. I will read down and we'll come back to study it. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. I would ordinarily think inheritance is something that is passed to you by genealogy, by virtue of your birth. But this scripture says Abraham actually was called to a place where what he will get is going to be called his inheritance. And he did went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign, in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. It is possible this morning for me, for us to actually be looking at a house. But today we're looking at a city. If we're looking at a house, it would have been a different conversation altogether. But today we are looking at a city that is built by God. And verse 10 says, "For he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a seed when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Verse 13. I'm waiting to make emphasis on some particular verses because we're coming back there. "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they came out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We're looking at this city today that God has prepared for us, or that is there for us. Jesus said to the disciples, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, such that where I am, there you will be also." Those mansions, do they look like the ones we see in Weybridge? I don't know. I don't know the architecture. I did civil engineering and some bit of architecture, but I may not be able to describe it in whether it's a Gothic, Elizabeth, Victorian style of architecture. I may not be able to say that. But Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be there also." So why are we looking at Abraham this morning? Why look at Abraham? Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 12 showed us how God called Abraham from his family, from his people, and said, "I want you to come." In our current conversation, whenever we're talking, the emphasis is more about the Abraham that didn't have a child for 25 years and God gave him a son, or that had a son after a very old age. But the beginning of that story was the call, his call out of something into somewhere else, as each and every one of us, we have been called. The scripture says we've been called out of the world and we have been called into his kingdom. The scripture says we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. There is a calling out and a calling into for us. And for some of us, we are being called unto the known, from the unknown, from our known unto the unknown. We are called from what we are comfortable with, the life we had lived for many years, and what we are okay with. We are being called from that life into a new place. Through our steps of faith in Christ, we don't know where we're going. Just like Abraham, we don't know the place. But by consistently trusting in him that has called us, taking a step daily in following the Lord, we're going on a journey that we may not be able to fully describe the place. And this journey, it's good. I have some young people here. Everybody here is young. Yes. Yes, I'm sure that Auntie Emma is young, very young. As well as Aksha. We are all young here. But there's this journey that we're going into, and we're called at these different levels of our calling. Being called out of the world and called into the kingdom of God. At that point, we define the salvation. When we get saved, that is our calling from the world into the kingdom of God. We are being called from darkness into light. The Bible says we should put off the works of darkness, envy, anger, malice, strife, fighting, and all that. Let's put all that behind and let's come into the light. So there's a call also from the scripture says, the hidden works of darkness. The scripture says, it is shameful to mention what some people actually do in the secret. But the Bible says, let's put off those works of darkness and let's come into light. So that's another level of our calling, into renouncing the works of darkness, accepting the grace of Christ, and walking into the light. That's another level of our calling. He was called, and the scripture says, to an inheritance. Where we're going, what we're going to have, is going to be ours. That journey that we're going on, we're going to have this deposit of God, and in that place, what we have is going to be permanent. These experiences is going to be permanent. We are going to have deposit of God in our lives in a way that is unique and great. He did something. He obeyed. One thing we saw about Abraham was when he was called, he obeyed. You might have obeyed at some point in your life. That's the reason why you are here. That's the reason why everyone is here. You have obeyed. But we need to keep obeying. We need to keep obeying, because the scripture that we read in the book of Hebrews, if we go to verse 9, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of promise with him, where God promised that this place is going to be yours. He was living there in tents, temporal accommodation, with his children, with his son, and his grandson. I would have thought, if this place is going to be mine, God, let it. I want to live in. He didn't live from. He walked out of a house where he was coming from, and in this journey to where God was taking him to, he was living in temporary accommodation, seemingly. So I want to say, it's possible God has given you a promise. God promised, gave you a promise, gave you a word. And that word, you seem not to see it to have manifested the way you thought it would be as yet. The scripture said, while still in faith, he was living in tents. And some conflicts, we believers go through this conflict in our Christian experience, in which some people ask, why is this happening to you if you are in faith? Why is everything not just 100% perfect, good, if you are in faith? The journey of faith, who actually defines good? What is our definition of perfect? That if you're in faith, this is not supposed to happen to you. The elders of faith that we saw in the scriptures, their lives were not one continuous straight line of trajectory in which nothing never was wrong with their lives. God called a man and said, I'm going to show you a place that I will give you as an inheritance. He did not have any piece of land, as at the time his wife was dying. He had to buy the place he was going to bury his wife. As at the time Sarah was dying, he had to buy that portion of land. So on this journey of ours, on this journey into getting what God has promised us, it may not be so much of a very smooth ride, but we have examples in the scriptures that it was not so much of a smooth ride with them too. But the scripture said they held on to faith and they kept moving. I want to show us also that verse 13 said, these all died in faith, not having received the promise. God told him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, I'm calling you to a land, and in that land, I will give the land to you as an inheritance. Not only that, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Your people are going to be very great. As at that time, he had Isaac and he had Ishmael. As at this time, only Ishmael had 12 sons. And Isaac, the guy was just at 40, he got married at 40, and he was just enjoying himself for the next 20 years. Until his wife looked and said, my God, what are you doing? The scripture says, okay. When his wife complained, Isaac now entreated the Lord for his wife. And God opened the way. So the guy was just enjoying himself for 20 years. Honeymoon, 20 years. Was just enjoying himself. Until the wife looked at him, she went to pray. So if we are counting the number of children that this guy has got at this time, of course, after the death of Sarah, he married Keturah and had other children. But at this time, the man whose generation will fill the whole earth, the multitude of them, they are not more than 100. As at this time, but the scripture said they believe this promise. So how practically does this apply to us? It's a pursuit, the word of that seeking a heavenly, seeking a city built with God. It's a pursuit. It's a journey. It's conscious. It's not, if God likes, it will happen. If God does not like, it will not happen. It's just God will do it if God wants to do it. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude is there's a part, there's a human part of deliberately engaging with these truths that we know. This city we're talking about, the scripture said, it's heavenly. And why am I talking about heaven today? At this age and time, people hardly talk about heaven. We are even not encouraged to be talking about heaven. And I don't know how much heaven things is mentioned. You seem as weird when you're talking about heaven. Some people felt, how much of hurt have you done? How much of this life have you done that you're talking about heaven? But this scripture says, if all our Christian experience, if everything that Christianity has to offer us is only on this side of eternity, we are of all men the most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If it is only on this side of eternity that our Christianity exists and gives us, and we have some kind of value for, everything we do on this side of eternity is preparing us for another side of our existence. The scripture says it is not yet sure what we will be like. We don't know what we will be like, but we are sure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. But one thing we're sure is that when we see him, we are going to be as he is. It is not sure what we're going to be like, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be as he is. And when any man has this kind of mindset, that our lives have this earthly component and heavenly component, and the two of them are equally important and connect to one another, such people live in a particular way. We live with a view of eternity. We know everything does not finish here. It doesn't start and finish here. Our lives here makes ready for us our lives in the hereafter. So it is not just when we are doing a burial service that we are talking about the hereafter. While we live each day, we live in the consciousness that we're living in view of a city that is going to be delivered to us after now. I want you to also check this. I've said that heaven is rarely being spoken about, but if you look at Revelation chapter 1 from verse 9 to 10, I'll put it on the screen. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 9 to 10. In our song today, what is here? We sang it today. We sang that is the Alpha and the Omega, is the God 3-in-1. Revelation 9, 1 to 10 said, I turned to look at the voice speaking to me. I heard a voice speaking to me saying, come up hither. And the voice told me several things. And when I turned to look, I saw a particular image. From our understanding of the scripture, we saw that he saw Jesus in another form, not the way we've used to see him. And he also saw in Revelation chapter 4 from verse 1 to 11, he saw the throne of God. He saw this throne, he saw 24, he saw a throne in his magnificence. He saw 24 elders seated. He saw activity. It was not a passive thing. And isn't God good? If it was just that heaven was being described and we cannot see it, nobody saw it. One day I was talking with a colleague in the office and I said, this is what the scripture says. This is what the scripture says. He looked at me and said, have you been to heaven before? I said, no. He said, how come you're talking with such authority? I said, I know somebody that has been there. Jesus said, I was with the Father. I am talking to you. I'm going back to the Father. I'm coming back to pick you so that where I am, you can be. There is no other person that has traversed eternity, time, and back to eternity like Jesus. Step from eternity into time, moved back into eternity, and is stepping back into time. I say to every young person here, you have not been called to a dead faith. You have not been called to a faith that expired 2,000 years ago. We are not just trying to play church. No. We are not just trying to play church. This is real. This is very real. And if you permit me, for the sake of maybe the little children that are here, I want to read Revelation chapter 4 from verse 1 to the end. I want you to see, because of the imagery that is there. After those things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in the heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that was like the trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, I will show you things which must take place after now. The voice I heard in Revelation chapter 1, I'm hearing the voice again now. Immediately, I was in the spirit. This is an experience I pray. This is an experience I pray that each and everyone seated here would have from time to time. It's spiritual encounter. It is real. These things are real. I've been there. These things are real. You can, in your spiritual experience of walk with God, God in His magnificence can take you into eternity in your experience. Spiritual experience can take you, can actually step into eternity and back into your body. In my Christian experience, I've felt this at different times. This is not a time for that. But I want to say what we're reading is real. Each and every person here can have these experiences. And verse 3 says, and he that sat, so immediately, verse 2, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat was like jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeds lightning, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of crystal, like crystal, a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in the front and their back. And the first living creature was like a lion. And the second living creature was carved, and the third creature had a face like man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, this is what they say day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come around this throne. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, worshiping him who lives forever and ever, casting their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord. You receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So when we talk about a city, the scripture said at the end of time, the old heavens will be rolled away. What is written here? The old earth will be rolled away. There shall be a new earth and there shall be a new heaven. And the heavens and the earth will be merged together. Why? Because God seeks a city where human beings, not just angelic beings, there will be a relationship, an interfusing of humanity will day and night live in a place where God is not distant, where God is present, where there will be no sun, where there will be no moon, where the glory of God will give light. If it is not true, if these were carefully fabricated fables, our experience, experientially, why would some guys decide to be killed, jailed, sawn into two, put into hot oil? This guy was put into hot oil, telling him that these things that you are saying is not to renounce this faith. And he said no. And they threw him into hot boiling oil. Hello. If it is not true, if I was the one, even if somebody is smoking an eye, when you see hot boiling oil, you will recant and say, no, it is not so. These are realities. Today, I'm presenting, I'm saying that there is a city. There is a city. This city is heavenly. This hope keeps us engaging with everything that comes at us daily. COVID came, we won. Brexit, whatsoever comes in our world, everything that comes at us, high cost of living, whatsoever comes at us, because we know that there is a place that when we are done with our life on this earth, there is a better place that is being prepared for us. That our lives does not just finish on this side of eternity. We obtain the promises of God while we are here, but this promise transcends eternity. It is not just in houses, in gardens, in mansions on the earth. If you can have it, why not? But it transcends to the other side of eternity, and it moderates how we live and how we live with one another. I want you to bow your heads with me as we pray, and to talk to God and to say, Lord, thank you, because we are not hopeless people. Lord, thank you because we have not been called to a dead faith. Thank you because we have been called to a living faith. Thank you, Lord, because you've called us to this city whose foundation and maker is God. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We bless you. And we thank you for, I thank you for each and every one that is here today. Thank you for your mercies, your calling, your favor upon each and every life. Father, as everyone looks to you, the Bible says you satisfy the desire of every living. Every question, every demand, every thirst that is presented to you today by each and every one represented here, Lord, I pray that there be an answer in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your hand and your presence will continue with us, and you will give to each and every one of us as you desire some of these spiritual experiences that shows that we have not been caught unto a lifeless hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.